season. In a year rocked by tragedy.
The town has been very shaken by all this.
Joe fights to make Buffalo safer than ever before.
I have an obligation not to send this 20-year-old kid home in a body bag.
You're going to go around and kill yourself.
And fights to keep his airline alive.
I pay your wages. You're the civil servant here. You prove to me.
Quack, quack.
Mother Nature can really kick us in the ass in about 2 minutes here.
Arrivals and departures shake up the ramp.
We know what's going to be different. Not a goddamn thing.
And do I have the guts? Especially as a girl.
We're all getting tired and weak.
Whoa.
Like, what the is this? Who is the dipshit?
My head's going to explode now, man.
There's reasons like that why I want to leave.
Will Kelly just quit?
And even with safety as the watchword, anything can happen when you fly the brutal skies of the far north.
My landing gear pressure is bleeding off.
Planes are on the move at Buffalo Airways in Yellowknife. Tonight, three of Buffalo's birds will lead a unique procession across the sky over the airport to honor victims of a fatal air crash 1,500 kilometers northeast in the high Arctic.
The tragedy that happened, you know, hundreds and hundreds of miles away, but it felt like it happened in our back door.
A disaster in Resolute Nunavut has turned the country's attention to the high Arctic.
On the police and the Canadian forces, they're on the scene. They're moving the dead and the injured at this time.
Team report, 12 died, 3 survived.
4 days ago, Flight 6560 attempted to land in Resolute Bay through thick fog cover and crashed into a nearby hill on final approach.
As soon as the fog lifted, then you could see the carnage all over the side of the hill.
A plane crash in a community only accessible by plane.
Resolute was the destination, but the flight and flight crew came from Yellowknife.
Buffalo and myself was not involved in the tragedy, but we are involved in the tragedy because they are a neighbor.
For the flight crews tonight, this will be a short trip, but they all hope it has a long-lasting impact.
Something like this is such a big tragedy. I mean, there's really nothing you can do, but, you know, you gotta give the folks a good send-off.
Here at the airport, if you have an airplane, the one way you show respect is to fly an airplane.
15 aircraft will fly tonight as part of a traditional aviation salute. Joe's DC-3 will be right in front. He's invited Kelly Jurasevich and her friends to ride along.
I lost a very good friend down there, which was really hard. And my husband, Juan, now flies for First Air, and he was there that morning. And I didn't know if it was him. And it was very scary for all of us.
It's very informal. There's no right or wrong way to do this, so do whatever people feel.
Joe's been hit hard.
One of the ladies on that airplane we knew as well as anybody was a nurse in the hospital here in Yellowknife. My mother always says the only nice thing about waking up that hospital is Anna Marie smiling at you and telling you what a great day it's going to be.
As well as a part-time nurse, Anne-Marie Chassis worked as a flight attendant and was killed with the rest of the crew.
I was supposed to get to the front gates 25 years before Anne-Marie was to arrange front row seating, but that's why it's not easy, any easier for me than a few people.
Those were his friends that passed away. Those were my friends that passed away. And Joe doesn't deal with that stuff very well. So this was his tribute.
Joe's tribute will be a very rare sight. Three planes that have made history. The DC-3, DC-4, and C-46 flying together.
Alpha is 1 through 4, all clear, takeoff runway 16.
Flyby is an emotional reminder of the worst that can happen to any flight. On the ramp, a memorial crowd gathers to pay respects. Joe's vintage birds. Every aviation company in Yellowknife, with a plane and pilot to spare, pays its respects. The grand finale, a Boeing 737, just like the downed plane.
The town and industry has been very shaken by all this. Tonight we'll start to handle it a little better than we have been.
Brings a fresh new face to Yellowknife.
I'm definitely scared to come up here. I don't know anyone up here.
Christine Povey has just hit town for a 4-day visit.
Got a call yesterday from Justin asking me to come up. I'd already planned to come up, so they're making a pit stop there to say hi and see what they have to say to me.
This isn't the first time Christine's dropped everything to follow her flying dream.
I was out kayaking on Lake Ontario one day, and it was right over the flight path. There's just all these planes landing. And basically I said, I want to do that. Hi, Mikey.
Nice to meet you. All the way from Toronto?
All the way from Toronto. Yep, really? Here I am. I expected to speak for, half a day, an hour or so with someone.
Yeah, they're going to Tundra Mine tomorrow at 9 o'clock.
Okay.
But Mikey wants to know right away if she's Buffalo caliber. Yeah.
Any coveralls in?
No.
Off to the yard? Do you need a sweater or something?
I'll start with this and see what happens.
Mikey's putting her right to work.
And you got the proper glasses.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah.
The DC-4 is taking a load of environmental cleanup equipment up north.
This is Christine.
Hi.
Christine.
Hi,
Christine. AJ, come on. Christine's gonna be trying it out for a week to see if she can hack it.
Before Christine gets a chance to fly, she'll have to learn how to lift.
All right, this is where the girl stuff comes in.
This is fun.
And drop stuff.
tighten her up first.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
that sounds kind of twisted, but there's this challenge that, you know, so many people don't make it, and so many people can't keep up with it.
Christine seems very nice, and, you know, the first day is always the toughest. She really wants it. She's got to get down and, you know, get to work. You know, get a pair of cards and get to work, because it's not really me you have to press, it's your peers.
I'm just going to make everything slower today for you guys.
Hey?
Do I have the guts and the stamina to be able to do this job and to be able to prove myself? Especially as a girl, it's such a physical job, but mental as well, that do I have everything to be able to do it?
We're going to scare you away.
Christine will get her answer before the week is up. It's been six tough weeks at Buffalo since the crash of Flight 6560.
As you can see, there are large amounts of debris near the top of the cliff.
Yellowknife's been rocked by two more local fatal crashes, one of them right in the heart of the city.
Apparently, the Twin Otter clipped a power line and came to rest between these two buildings.
Buffalo Joe himself raced to the scene.
One of the second accident happened right close to your home.
I don't want to get into that.
A cruel month in Northern Aviation.
We were just not at all ready for this. We have no warning. It's shocking. It'll take a long time.
Yellowknife slowly starts to recover.
Okay, here we go, and action!
And at the Buffalo hangar, some new visitors have come to town.
This is wild. So yeah, they're just rehearsing some scenes right now.
A film crew's making a drama set in the world of aviation. They've turned Buffalo into a backlot.
They showed up with a team of about 60 people and basically took over the hangar.
The crew is using the hangar as a location, Buffalo's birds as props,
that's a cut.
And Mikey is their main consultant.
The ramp, he would just go up the stairs into the plane and deal with shit.
Yeah, so if there's an injured person, that would be the priority, of course. Everything else can wait.
All right.
That's a cut.
For Mikey, after the recent tragedy, this distraction couldn't have come at a better time.
I feel very fortunate that I got to, work with the writers and directors, and they got some pretty, wild ideas.
It'll bring things, near focus? Starting to work?
Yeah. It looks like that's kind of neat. Everyone's on TV now.
Now you know where Rod is.
You got everybody on yet?
But for Joe, this circus on the ramp is only making things worse.
When he came in and asked if I would provide airplanes and facilities for a movie, my first action was no. That's how I would have these airplanes for.
B-Mark!
Here we go, and action!
After the recent hard dose of reality, Joe has no time for fiction.
It was not at all appealing to me because a drama is one person's imagination, the writer. He hasn't been here, he hasn't done it. Well, I couldn't think of anything that they could come up with that hasn't been done.
And it's only going to get worse for Joe when they put his planes in the air. Early the next morning, 200 kilometers southwest at the Hay River Airport, the daily freight delivery from Edmonton is carrying the latest in this year's new crop of rampies. Ryan Lacoste has been on the road all night, and he's got a long first day at work ahead of him.
I'm Matt.
Ryan,
working together today.
And,
everyone else that's here is going to Yellowknife.
Yeah. Little did I know, I was going to work another 13 hours after once I got there.
Do you guys care if I climb onto this thing and grab shit?
Ryan hails from Winnipeg. He's been hired to help Matt Kennedy keep Hay River running.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've done hard work before, construction, Winnipeg, and Australia too, and I've done, I've worked in the mines as well. You have to work your way up, and you have to start from the bottom and pay your dues, and I'm going to do that. I'm going to literally do whatever it takes.
That's good news for Buffalo after a long string of young pilots who couldn't hack the workload.
At Buffalo Airways, you have to look ahead. People that are living day to day, they don't last here because day to day sucks.
But like every Rampy, Ryan dreams of flying Buffalo's planes.
One day, man, one day.
It's a promising start. But as the day wears on...
This is it, eh?
Yeah.
This is looking bad.
Ryan's about to get a harsh reality check. The grand tour of the Buffalo crew house.
That's the captain's room. And this is where the flight attendants have been sleeping.
And it's enough to make anyone question just how badly he really wants to fly.
And then this is where the king-size bed is. Unless you want the flight attendant room, that's the only other bed.
Right. I'm probably going to jack that other kid's room upstairs. Not gonna lie.
No, it doesn't matter.
The Rampies who serve as flight attendants are only part-time residents. So the junior guy is stealing the flight attendant's room. The best one that's empty today.
New room, eh?
But around here, best is far from good.
Probably wash the sheets first. I like the blanket as the blinds. It's a nice touch.
Ryan might be okay to work like a Rampy, but is he ready to live like one? Early morning at the Buffalo hangar. The DC-3 crew gears up for a flight their boss wants nothing to do with. A film shoot.
We're into Fort Resolution.
They're filming there, so we're gonna be bringing there all their gear. We're taking two DC-3s, so we're gonna be there all day.
The two planes will transport the film crew and do some maneuvers for the camera.
And then when he shows up, I'll shut down number one, make him get on.
Justin Simley will fly the first plane.
Yeah, we should have 18 passengers on board today. The second plane will have...
I guess when you watch, you don't realize how many people it takes to put it together, and kind of like, wow, what do you need all those people for? Anyways, I kind of got a charge out of that.
Board is centered for Buffalo 213 with you off 160 on 8,000 feet.
As the DC-3 flies out, Joe heads into work. And he's still not happy to see his plane used as a prop.
We have working machines. They're not really for somebody's imagination. I didn't want nothing to do with it.
Well, this is a nice morning.
Yeah, this could have been a lot worse.
But things are going to get much worse for Justin and Joe before this mission is over. A DC-3 freighter rolls in from Hay River, which means it's time for Christine Povey to get to work.
They're putting me through the ringer for the next few days to see if I run away crying or if I actually, you know, make it. So.
This morning, she's closer to crying.
No gloves?
No!
No steel-toed boots?
No!
Tough girl.
I'm gonna die!
Buffalo's new prospect has been thrown into sorting the local courier freight.
You got no help down there, and you don't know where anything goes.
I know. That's because three guys ran off in one van.
Either that or they figured the new girl has to prove herself.
Discovery Air? Anyone? Anyone?
Christine's starting to get a real sense of Buffalo's sink or swim attitude.
I can fly a plane. Let's see if I can drive a van.
As she makes the courier run with Kenny McBrien, Christine has to think hard about this new life.
There's so much here and so many opportunities here that you kind of have to decide which, you know, what compromise to make. Do you want this one inside?
Yes, please.
I can still see where it will eventually lead, and as long as that kind of keep that in the back of my mind, hope for the best.
But it will take more than hope for Christine to make it here.
Here we go.
150 kilometers south, the film crew is finishing its shoot in Fort Resolution. Up until now, it's all gone according to plan.
Nice day for it. Weather worked out for us good.
trip home, Justin trades co-pilots with the other plane. He needs to perform a check on co-pilot Al Garaluk. Al will fly with Justin in the DC-3 known as PNR.
PNR, eh? Give this baby a try.
Haven't pulled this one yet, eh?
No.
All set?
Since.
Al's an old hand on the C-46, but he's new to the DC-3.
Yep. So just roll her over.
Here's your speed.
Nice day for a rip.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
45 minutes later, they make their approach into Yellowknife. An easy day on set is about to end with some real-life drama.
Got a green lane. And spacer lock confirmed.
You know, before you land any of these types of airplanes, you need to make sure the pressure is up and the wheels are down and locked.
The green lights say the gear is down and locked. But something isn't right.
Oh, gonna give you a little more gear pressure.
Yeah, that is going down in a hurry.
Yeah, I see that.
When the co-pilot pushes down the landing gear handle, fluid flows down the line, extending the gear. He then slides the handle back into neutral, cutting off the flow and sealing the pressure in. That positive pressure is one sign that the landing gear is locked and ready.
Okay, yeah, it's just bleeding right off full flap.
I noticed that the pressure was decaying rapidly.
Yep. Drop it again. A little more. Here.
Justin has to risk landing or abort overshooting the runway.
95 or 108. Check.
Justin makes a last second call.
That's not right. We're going around.
Sure.
And aborts the landing.
Set max power props.
Something doesn't look right, you go around and figure out a plan.
Hey, PNR's company. Is this saw you guys do an overshoot? Was that for filming or was that for a problem?
Yeah, I went around. I got my down and my landing gear pressure is bleeding off like a son of a bitch.
Yeah, copy that. You guys just be safe up there, eh?
But Joe already has a theory.
Okay, go give me the manual.
That Al didn't slide the handle fully into neutral.
As soon as they told me what was going on, I knew what was the matter. Well, I've been around the airplane a long time. I've seen it numerous times. Maybe the first time I seen it, I didn't realize what was going on either.
To Joe, that means it was an unnecessary overshoot. And overshooting is a bad habit to fall back on. Weather or engine problems can keep a plane from climbing back out of its descent. The results can be tragic. With the recent crashes so fresh in his mind, Joe has no patience for any kind of risk.
They fail to learn how it works. So if the system doesn't work exactly the way they want it, by how they throw their switches, they can't go back far enough and troubleshoot and say, what did I do wrong?
But in the air, Justin has no idea about what's going on with his gear.
Maybe throw a can in there. Yeah, this is gonna go down. I don't wanna do this again.
Al tops up the hydraulic fluid for insurance. And they take a second shot at dropping the gear.
Pedal neutral, green light.
Green light.
So you got a wheel?
Yeah, I see a wheel over there.
Okay, positive lock.
Positive lock.
Once again, the lights say all gear is locked. But Justin can't be sure what's going on until his wheels hit the runway.
I don't want my f***ing gear to collapse when I touch down. Okay, give me a quick shot of gear pressure here. Spray it right up.
All right.
Here's down.
Final checks are complete.
Today, it all worked out.
Nice ride. Enjoyed it. Thank you.
But Joe worries this kind of decision could lead to another accident.
We've had too much of that here this year.
Not good.
Now, the flight crew is going to find out exactly how he feels. Reeling from the recent fatal crashes, Joe's fuming that his DC-3 crew took the risk of a runway overshoot.
You cannot possibly have a DC-3 in a cage.
Yeah, you're coming in the land, you're coming in the land.
The pressure's going up and down. Yeah, I'm going around.
At 200 and a quarter.
Well, if I ain't landing
with
that.
Icy.
Pressure doing that.
Sure you do. Put the handle right where it's at right now.
It always upsets me that pilots don't take the time to learn how the system works.
Joe believes that the hydraulic handle was in the wrong position, and that even if it wasn't, it doesn't really matter, because the DC-3 has two other locking systems.
It's got a geometric lock, it's got a mechanical lock, and it's got a hydraulic lock. It's got three ways of locking it.
You can say what you like, but had I, you know, ignored the fact that something was wrong, you know, and landed, and the gear would have collapsed, and maybe 27 people get hurt.
You know, this could happen at the end of a dark, dirty night in a snowstorm with maybe not in an airport you want to do a go-around on.
It was a similar situation in 1987 when this de Havilland Caribou lost altitude during a go-around near Ross River in the Yukon.
Ross River. Did everything in the world to kill themselves. Why?
Go around. You're going to go around and kill yourself.
I see.
You're all iced up. You're out of fuel. You're down to 208. The guy yells, no gear pressure.
One engine. Yeah.
Go around.
Yeah,
why?
See how something so simple as that
can take you to a hill. Distract you. You're going to go around.
Everybody's entitled to their opinion, right? But, you know, you got to make your call. And it's my call.
But for Joe, after the last month, any risk he sees as unnecessary is the wrong call.
You got hydraulic pressure, you got geometric lock, you got mechanical lock, you got everything. It doesn't matter. PNR can't f*** up.
Yet tomorrow, Joe will have to fly an overshoot of his own. It's been a very long day for Ryan Lacoste.
What's up, dude?
I know, eh?
And he's still trying to see if he's really cut out for life on the ramp.
Push.
Including Rampy 101, jumping on the wing.
If I figured I'd get like a ladder or something and kind of, you know, no, jump on him. Like, seriously?
He's tall enough.
Here you go, boss.
Ryan has scaled new heights, but he's not exactly feeling at home here.
Yeah.
Seems like it's very dangerous.
Don't fall, because I'm not catching you.
Has anyone actually fallen off the tip like this?
Yeah, lots.
And a fear of height seems to be the least of his concerns about his new life.
Yeah, eh? So you're going to quit or what?
And, yeah, I think we can.
Yeah?
What made you want to quit?
You don't like to work? You don't want to fly airplanes? Get your hours. It was. No. You miss your mom?
Mom, I don't have a problem. It was a whole lifestyle change. I thought I was going to be kind of working 7 days. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, no one really seems happy with them, with themselves, right?
Seven days a week. It would be cool if I can take like a weekend off and like, you know, go get out of my system or something.
Seven days on.
Go to Cologne or something or Edmonton, you know.
Why don't you go somewhere?
Wait 8 months, man.
This is gonna ruin your life.
Now, Ryan has to decide between his lifestyle and his dreams.
Where are you taking me now?
The next morning on the Yellowknife ramp, Buffalo Joe is heading to a meeting that he'd like to avoid.
Hey, Tyler?
The film crew needs his special expertise.
Mike.
Go with Brian.
Anthony. They come up to you and they say, hey, we gotta have a DC-3 and we gotta do a crazy landing.
Okay, what do you want? Let's go.
The story is that one of the characters in the show, and he's a lousy pilot, his gear isn't down. He comes in over the runway, and he pulls up, comes around for a second attempt at the landing.
To play the part of a rookie pilot losing control of his DC-3, Joe will have to fly an overshoot.
I just wanted to do what was expected. I didn't want to give him any more or any less.
Okay, thanks a lot.
But an overshoot is the exact maneuver that got Joe so riled up yesterday. So his mood is only getting worse.
Guys are pigs. Who flew this thing last? Who was a co-pilot? It's a mess in here.
Joe doesn't like the way his co-pilot, Tyler, has prepped the DC-3.
Did you pre-flight this airplane?
I did, yes.
I was sitting here with the mag switches on and the brakes off.
Now Joe's got to shake it all off and get his mind into the dicey and difficult flight ahead.
Clear, takeoff runway 28.
Get ready, ready to go.
Once this guy clears, I'll let him go. Okay, he's got clearance.
Hey, I want 45. 45.
First up, a touch and go, banging the wheels down on the runway and immediately ascending back into the air.
You want two flap? Yep.
Hey, here he comes.
Yeah, a little wider. Let him go.
To fake a rookie fighting the wind, Joe cranks the yoke. At less than 20 feet up, Joe could scrape a wingtip across the tarmac if he's not in complete control.
It is completely unnatural to see a DC-3 come in all wonky like that and actually get your heart racing.
He has to smack down right on his mark. Now he has to bounce again and get back up in time. That was just the warm-up. For Joe's next stunt, his landing gear will be up. It's the maneuver that's downed many planes. The overshoot.
Okay, PNR's in left-hand circuit. This will be load over with the wheels up.
It's a last-ditch option that today he can't avoid.
When I go by the wheels up, did they want it sort of squiggly, like rocking, rolling a little better, straight level?
In the air over the Yellowknife Airport, Buffalo Joe McBrien closes in to fly a maneuver that he's always sworn to avoid.
This will be load over with the wheels up.
A completely unnecessary overshoot of the runway.
There are times you gotta do a go around, but make sure you have to do it before you do it.
Joe's going to drop within 20 feet of the tarmac. Other Buffalo pilots refuse to even try this move with the gear up. If he miscalculates or anything goes wrong, he's got no landing gear and nothing to cushion his fall. Not only nailed the move, he had fun doing it.
What do you think?
It's always fun to fly the airplane and to toss it around. It was something different.
All I can say is, my father was in control the whole time, but he made it look like he wasn't. And, you know, maybe he's a good plane actor.
You ever had to fake an orgasm? Same thing.
A little adventurous flying has cheered Joe right up.
I don't know what the hell you're going to do with that.
even if he had to look bad to do it.
I don't know what bad means. Whatever it is, it must be fun. I've been good all my life. I don't like it. It has to be bad one day. 1 minute.
After a tough month, that minute of fun was exactly what he needed. On the remote Tundra Mine airstrip, Buffalo's DC-4 crew is finishing up an equipment delivery.
All right. Hey, slowly.
Christine Povey's been recruited to help push freight.
Kind of had an inkling that it would be this physical. When you're looking at cargo and loading and unloading freight, kind of comes with the territory, so yeah, that's not a big surprise.
But for a novice pilot, this isn't about the destination. It's all about the journey.
I was really excited to actually go on the DC-4. Being something this size up there is like once in a lifetime experience.
And Captain AJ DeCoste is about to give Christine her second once in a lifetime experience of the day.
AJ kind of motioned at a seat, and so I slid into it and got to fly the plane.
For a pilot barely out of flight school, it's a complete shock.
There's power set. There's 85, rotate. Just like that. Lock the rate.
Gear up.
There's the hook. Staying home 110 knots. There you go.
She has to conquer her nerves and take control of a four-engine behemoth.
I'm obviously used to smaller aircraft, having trained in single-engine, two-seat, four-seat type of airplanes.
All of Christine's flight hours have been in a plane half the weight of an average car and with the horsepower of a four-cylinder engine. The DC-4 is a major upgrade.
It's a very heavy plane to handle, very physical. You know, you're moving the plane.
Okay, right on heading. Pretty much on altitude, looks good.
It's a plane that's 25 times the weight she's used to, with 40 times the power.
It's a very physical plane to fly.
As they close in on Yellowknife, Christine gets the biggest surprise and challenge of her very brief flying career.
In the landing briefing, do you have any questions about coming in for landing?
Not right now.
Okay.
AJ is going to let the rookie tackle the landing.
Okay, start turning now. Yeah, there you go. Keep that runway right, center line right between your legs there. Just powering it back a little bit. Get back on our rest speed. Looking very good. Feel how heavy it is.
Yeah.
Okay, don't turn too much or you'll get off. Yep.
The big challenge for Christine is to flare, getting the right angle for her descent. She has to pitch the nose up much earlier than in a small plane, changing the angle to get the rear wheels down first without slamming the fore onto the runway.
Yeah, we're going to keep the runway threshold in the same spot on the window there. We're going to close up throttles a little bit early here.
Okay.
Lift, pull back. Have to pull back a little bit more.
It was bumpy.
Holy.
But Christine has notched up a career first.
Okay, out of control.
You have control.
Get your hands on everything off, everything.
Everything's off.
Okay.
To be able to just say that I've landed this plane is, it's amazing. Nothing like being thrown into the snake pit right off the hop. So, it's been interesting. It's been good.
Giving Christine a dream shot at the DC-4 might have just hooked Buffalo a new rampy.
Can I get it? Or?
I'll watch and learn.
Early the next morning in Hay River, Ryan Lacoste is throwing in the towel.
I have an opportunity back home. It's dispatching, but I get to fly like within like 6 months. So I'm just gonna go do that.
Ryan's decided his present lifestyle means more than a future at Buffalo.
You want to enjoy your life, right? Like you want to be a happy person. You don't want to do this just because you have to.
So you just, he's quit, he's done? How long did he last? Couldn't even finish the day, man. These guys. The last batch of people, they had no drive, man. I have no clue why it's going on.
Ryan's Buffalo dream is over.
I'm just gonna be honest, I'm here to help myself, right? And, you know, I got a better opportunity to escalate the ladder faster.
He's on his way to the bus station.
Now a little bus adventure. Halfway across the country.
Adventure was a big reason why Ryan showed up here in the first place.
You know, I actually worked at Buffalo. You know, I can say that word. It's not very long, but can't say that I'm gonna miss the place.
Move over. I don't even know your name. We're just hoping that the next guy is gonna be the franchise all-star. But as of right now, I have no faith in the new guys.
It seems like it's kind of like a miserable life. I just don't want that for myself.
You're off today?
At the Buffalo Hangar in Yellowknife, Christine Povey's saying goodbye.
Not today.
Cool. Well, thanks for a couple days of helping out.
Thank you so much for everything.
But not before Mikey makes her a formal offer.
Yeah, I think right now what we need is, you know, help at Food Mail. You know, with the 46 and all that stuff, the organization and the loading and all that stuff. It's where we're lacking right now.
Mm-hmm. That was great. All right, yeah. Thanks.
See you.
Ciao, guys.
Ciao. We just went through four top-notch cookie-cutter guys, and they didn't even last combined a week and a half. So I'm welcome to invite anybody in the hangar that will stick it out.
Christine will be back in a month. But after her big break in the cockpit, is she ready for the reality of the ramp?
I don't think you know going into it if you can do it or not. If you can, great. I'd like to think I can, so we'll see.
Back at the hangar.
Okay, what do you want to show me?
The film crew is leaving too.
How was it?
Good.
Did you get what you wanted?
Yeah.
Okay, there we go.
But first, they're showing Joe his handiwork.
Oh, right on.
I didn't know how far back I should start letting it go because I didn't know how far back you guys were zooming in on me.
Joe might have hated the idea of a pointless risk.
Yeah, there we are. I didn't want to go to the edge or go to the edge of the envelope or be a stunt pilot of Hollywood like Chuck Yeager or something. No, I just wanted to do a windy landing with a DC-3. That's all I really wanted to do.
But he can't deny just how good he made it look.
I think this is the first time my father actually was paid to be a bad pilot. Usually you're paid to be a good pilot, so he had to have some fun.
Hey, Joe, can I get a picture with you and Mikey?
And Buffalo Joe has some new admirers.
Oh, I'm in.
Are we supposed to laugh?
For the first time since the crashes, Joe feels like laughing again.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks.
Joe, thanks again.
Real pleasure.
Pleasure to meet you.